Campbell Alexander. It's a stupid name, in my opinion. It sounds like a bar drink that costs too much, or a brokerage firm. But you can't deny the man's track record. To reach my brother's room, you actually have to leave the house, which is exactly the way he likes it. When Jesse turned 16, he moved into the attic over the garage. A perfect arrangement, since he didn't want my parents to see what he was doing, and my parents didn't really want to see. Blocking the stairs to his place are 4 snow tires, a small wall of cartons, and an oak desk tipped onto its side. Sometimes I think Jesse sets up these obstacles himself, just to make getting to him more of a challenge. I crawl over the mess and up the stairs, which vibrate with the bass from Jesse's stereo. It takes nearly 5 whole minutes before he hears me knocking. "What?" he snaps, opening the door a crack. "Can I come in?" He thinks twice, then steps back to let me enter. The room is a sea of dirty clothes and magazines and leftover Chinese takeout cartons. It smells like the sweaty tongue of a hockey skate. The only neat spot is the shelf where Jesse keeps his special collection. A Jaguar's silver mascot, a Mercedes symbol, a Mustang's horse, hood ornaments that he told me he just found lying around, although I'm not dumb enough to believe him. Don't get me wrong. It isn't that my parents don't care about Jesse or whatever trouble he's gotten himself mixed up in. It's just that they don't really have time to care about it, because it's a problem somewhere lower on the totem pole. Jesse ignores me, going back to whatever he was doing on the far side of the mess. My attention is caught by a crock pot, one that disappeared out of the kitchen a few months ago, which now sits on top of Jesse's TV with a copper tube threaded out of its lid and down through a plastic milk jug filled with ice, emptying into a glass mason jar. Jesse may be a borderline delinquent, but he's brilliant. Just as I'm about to touch the contraption, Jesse turns around. "Hey!" He fairly flies over the couch to knock my hand away. "You'll screw up the condensing coil." "Is this what I think it is?" A nasty grin inches over his face.
"Depends on what you think it is."
He jimmies out the mason jar so that liquid drips onto the carpet.
"Have a taste."
For a still made out of spit and glue, it produces pretty potent moonshine whiskey. An inferno races so fast through my belly and legs I fall back onto the couch. "Disgusting," I gasp. Jesse laughs and takes a swig too, although for him it goes down easier.
"So, what do you want from me?"
"How do you know I want something?"
"Because no one comes up here on a social call," he says, sitting on the arm of the couch. "And if it was something about Kate, you would have already told me."
"It is about Kate, sort of." I press the newspaper clippings into my brother's hand. They'll do a better job explaining than I ever could. He scans them, then looks me right in the eye. His are the palest shade of silver, so surprising that sometimes when he stares at you, you can completely forget what you were planning to say.
"Don't mess with the system, Anna," he says bitterly. "We've all got our scripts down pat. Kate plays the martyr, I'm the lost cause, and you're the peacekeeper."
He thinks he knows me, but that goes both ways. And when it comes to friction, Jesse is an addict. I look right at him. "Says who?" Jesse agrees to wait for me in the parking lot. It's one of the few times I can recall him doing anything I tell him to do. I walk around to the front of the building, which has 2 gargoyles guarding its entrance. Campbell Alexander Esquire's office is on the 3rd floor. The walls are paneled with wood the color of a chestnut mare's coat, and when I step onto the thick oriental rug on the floor, my sneakers sink an inch. The secretary is wearing black pumps so shiny I can see my own face in them. I glance down at my cutoffs and the keds that I tattooed last week with magic markers when I was bored.